37.
It is 12:32 in Beaver Dam. You are listening to Community Comment. Here's our host, Kevin Haugen.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon. Welcome into today's Community Comment. I am your host, Kevin Haugen. It is my pleasure to welcome into our Daily Dodge TV studio this afternoon. Our guest here on Community Comment today is Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt. Sheriff, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's finally the – hopefully winter is I like to say winter is hopefully behind us, but now I look at the forecast and there's a chance for snow later today. And it's,
yeah, overnight. Tomorrow morning when we might wake up with a little bit, so be careful in the morning. Hopefully this is the last one or yeah, one of the last ones.
Maybe a quick side note for drivers, take a couple extra minutes tomorrow morning and make sure your car's cleared off from any ice or snow, and drive slowly, take extra caution, and we don't want to hear about a lot of runoffs tomorrow on people's way to work.
It's a cold rain here, and if it freezes later, some of that rain could get slick as well, being on the road, so certainly be careful on those roads overnight.
Yeah, hopefully, again, this is our last time ever having to talk about snow or ice
this year.
Yeah, it'll come up again next year, but hopefully this is it for this year. Knock on wood, if I had some wood nearby to do so. There we go. See, Sheriff, doing that for
gotcha.
Me. Thank you. If you have a question for our guest today here on Community Comments, you can call into the show at 885-4446, or you can text 887-9595. Again, the phone number to call in is 885-4446. If you have a question for Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt here, our guest today on Community Comment, and we'll see if we can. Normally, it's an hour. We were discussing beforehand that we might wrap up a half hour. So, if you have any questions, don't wait to the second segment. There may not be one. I just want to make that as a quick programming alert. So, get those phone calls in here before we end our show today. If you have those for Sheriff Dale Schmidt, but Sheriff, want to start off our program today discussing a press release that was sent out here just yesterday, I believe it. Yeah. Was from your agency discussing a really cool partnership with a organization, and it's a matter that's close to it's near and dear to your heart. That's something that you've been really focusing on and trying to curb here in Dodge County. And Sheriff, I'll turn the mic over to you, let you set the stage here for us, and kind of discuss this partnership and what you hope and aim to achieve with this new partnership here.
Yeah, so. When I first came in as sheriff, one of my campaign slogans was Operation Tee Off, and the T was TEE for Treatment, Education, and Enforcement. So that's really been really what we've been focusing on throughout my tenure as sheriff. A lot of different education initiatives that we have had, different partnerships with communities. We've been out in the community talking about heroin and opiate drugs and fentanyl. We've talked about it here on the show a lot. Really trying to educate the community on what goes on with these drug overdoses. Treatment, obviously, we've been working. When I took office, we only had human services. Now we've got a couple other treatment options available to us for individuals in the community, which is great. Alaris here in town being one of them. And enforcement. We've been working on stepping up our enforcement. We've got an outstanding enforcement group, our drug task force. I'm hearing so many positives, not only from law enforcement agencies within our county, but we just had an outstanding email from Jefferson County here recently with some interactions going on there, and Fond du Lac County and the Metro Drug Task Force up there. It had some real positive feedback for our staff with some cases in the Lemire area, and they've just been doing a really good job. So all of those things are tying together. We've got one more thing really to add to that, and that really falls under the education angle again. And so yesterday we put out a press release, a partnership with the Love Logan Foundation. And Logan passed away from a fentanyl overdose, and his parents, Rick and Aaron Rockwall, have been speaking nationally trying to get parents and students to understand their slogan, "One Pill Can Kill," and how one prescription medication pill can change not only that person's lives, but their family's life forever. And in this case, the pill that Logan had consumed was laced with fentanyl. And so obviously that family is torn apart. every time that I see Aaron and Rick, and they tell their story, they're tearful. Tear-filled, and had the opportunity to testify in front of a U.S. congressional committee this last fall with them. And Rick's testimony was incredible and very heart-wrenching. And so we've come up with a partnership, and they've been doing this with other agencies, but they got a hold of me last year, and they said, hey, could we put some decals on one of your squads? And they were looking at a little bit bigger decals initially, but I wanted to make it more across multiple different squads if possible. And so we did the back window, and we just put out the press release. If you look on our Facebook page, you look on our app, I'm sure Daily Dodge has it out as well. You can see that decal on the back window of our school resource officer's squad car. He's the Lamira school resource officer. It has the One Pill Can Kill logo. It blends in with our squad really nicely, and it has the logo Love Logan on there. And a little, just so you know, understand what Love Logan means is they received a letter from Logan, and at the bottom of it, it was signed Love Logan, and that's where they got it. That's what they put as part of their logo, and really what the purpose of it is to put it on a squad car so that we can have conversation with the community about what is this all about? What does it mean? And Jay Thielman, our school resource officer up in Lamira, was a perfect first option to put it there. He has already had numerous people ask him, what is this all about? And it allows him to engage in that conversation, to provide that education in hopes of saving at least one life. And it's something that the Love Logan Foundation is paying for. So it's been a great partnership. We're looking at putting some more of these on our canine squads. After seeing it, Sergeant Kennard up on the Lamira has requested one, so we'll see if we can get another one put on there. But it really is a sharp design, and I thank West Falls up in Brownsville for helping get it designed, get it installed, a great partnership that we look forward to. Not because we want to. Not that we're, it's a positive thing so that we can try and highlight this and make sure that Logan can be remembered in a way that he's saving other lives.
Yeah, it seems like this is a way to serve as a dialogue potential opener for people that, if they ask what that sign is on the back of a squad car, you can open that dialogue and have these discussions with people that, you know, maybe it's not them that need to hear it, but maybe a loved one that they can share this information with and pass this along. And it sounds like this could potentially be expanding to not just the Lamira School Resource Officers vehicle. This might be additional squad cars. Is that kind of the hope here in the next several weeks, months, that this will expand out?
We've already begun designing them for our canine squads. Makes sense that with a canine there, talking about drugs. And a lot of times our canine deputies are doing our community events. They come out with the canines. They'll have their squad car there. In addition to talking about the dog, which everybody loves the dogs, right? It also allows us the opportunity to have another talking point that our dogs can actually sniff the stuff out. But at the same time, what does fentanyl do, and why is it causing so many tragedies around our country? And we're hopeful that with some of the changes in our country, with the restriction on the flow coming across the border, that it'll be less and less in the future, but it's still something that's here. It's going to take some time, even with the border being closed down. It's going to take some time for us to get through all of this, and we need to continue to educate the public on the dangers of fentanyl, the dangers of one pill, and that's all it was. One pill with fentanyl being laced in it caused the death of Logan, and we don't want that to happen to anybody else. So really bolsters that three-way approach that we've been working on as long as I've been sheriff, and we'll continue to find other ways to do that as well. But if you see that on the side of a squad car, now you'll know the reason why. It's to really highlight an individual who lost his life, but hopefully not in vain, that we can make some positives out of it.
Maybe this is a question we can't answer right now, but you mentioned Logan's parents closely involved with a lot of the stuff that's going on with this Love Logan Foundation. Have you mentioned that they go around speaking at conventions and events? Have they done anything in Dodge County that you are aware of, or maybe down the road could maybe have a presentation at schools or certain events that would be able to highlight some of the dangers that come along with this drug?
Yeah, I'm not sure that they've done any presentations right here in Dodge County. They've done it in Southeast Wisconsin. They're from the Southeast Wisconsin area. But we have worked with Deputy Thielman to get into the Lamira schools. And they're working on that right now to get something in a presentation by them to the schools. And once we get that in there, the idea is to then expand that and offer it other locations to really start and show the importance of it. And then hopefully it catches fire and we can have other schools in the community or maybe even public appearances by them so they can tell their story.
Yeah, and another angle to the fight against illegal substances and drugs, and something that your office, yourself included, has gone through training and worked through and gotten the training to be able to recognize these things, as that's the drug recognition experts. And maybe start off just talking about what that role is and how important that is to law enforcement to have somebody on staff who is a drug recognition expert.
Yeah, I'll do that, and then I'll talk a little bit about how we get to that status, because it is quite a process. So we have five drug recognition experts, including myself, and we've got a couple others who have been DREs that have opted to let the certification lapse and due to their positions. And so what we really use it for is anytime there is a drug impairment type case, generally driving related, but it can be utilized for operating a firearm while impaired by a drug or could be utilized even in a homicide investigation. Depends on what the case is, to really bolster the case as far as identifying what it is that the drugs that are in that person's body are doing to that body. And so most often, like I said, it's in drug impaired driving cases where a deputy will make an arrest for impaired driving. They suspect at the time that it is drug related, and they need some additional evidence to determine what drug is it, what drug category is it, and what does it do to their body. And so that's really what we're looking for, is we come in and we'll do an evaluation after the arrest is made. And we'll do some of the same similar field sobriety tests you might see on the road, but then we'll do some other medical type tests, blood pressure, taking pulse, getting your body temperature, checking pupil size, those types of things, to really identify what is going on with the human body. Some people are probably thinking, well, what does that have to do with driving? And so I'll tell you, let's take a look at pupil size, for example. Yeah. If your pupil size is constricted, which the only drug category that will constrict your pupils is narcotics. So your fentanyls, your heroin, any kind of painkiller, oxycodone, those will all constrict your pupils to a point that they'll be pinpoint. Now, at nighttime, when you're driving around, your pupils are supposed to get bigger to let more light in, right? So if your pupils are constricted, you're not getting light into your eyes, you can't make out what's going on around you. Your peripheral vision is going to come in significantly. It's going to be much smaller, pinpoint, like your eyes. And so you're not able to see. You're not going to have peripheral vision. You're going to have that tunnel vision. It's going to be fuzzy. And that's why it's important when we're looking at somebody's pupil size and I see their pupils are 1 millimeter in diameter, that's not good when you're driving at night. Daytime, you don't need as much, but even then, when you constrict it down, you're not letting as much light in. It's going to be darker and harder to see. Now, let's look at something opposite. Let's take a look at cocaine. If somebody's on cocaine or methamphetamine, their pupils are going to be dilated, so much larger. So in the daytime, when your pupils constrict, your pupils are now dilated. They're much larger. Marijuana does this as well. And maybe you're at 8.5, 9 millimeters in diameter. That's a very large pupil. When you can barely see the color around the outside of your pupils, that's not a good thing. Now, you're driving around in the daytime when your pupils are supposed to be constricted. It's letting in so much light that you're not able to see what's going on in front of you clearly. You'll be able to make out objects, but everything is going to be blurred. Everything's going to be washed out. It's like going on your TV and turning the brightness level way up. And you're not able to really make out clearly what's going on in front of you. Those and other things are why we take a look at those different things, a pulse. So a normal resting pulse is going to be from 70 to 90 beats per minute typically. Now, if I go and I take your pulse and your resting pulse is 130 beats per minute, that's going really, 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 really fast, all right? And I'll tell you that when we have people who are smoking marijuana, we'll do a pulse check on them. It's not because they're nervous.
That was going to be my first question.
Your pulse doesn't go up that much because you're nervous. I'm telling you this. 130 beats per minute is what most people will get at when they're running for a long period of time. And it takes a while to get that at 130. That's not a good thing. When you put all these things together, your dilated pupils, your pulse is elevated. With a narcotic, your blood pressure is way down, your whole body depresses, makes it really hard for you to make good decisions, to be safe when behind the wheel of a vehicle, when operating a firearm. It's going to skew your ability to make good decisions. So that's really what a DRE is all about and why we get involved. And I thought it'd be an interesting thing for some people to know about. And it really is an eye-opening experience after going through the training. And then your first contact with somebody using drugs, like, I've been seeing that for years. Now I know what it means.
And it's you mentioned there is a lot of things that somebody needs to go through for the training to be able to get to that level, be able to spot those visual cues and other other things that tip off to law enforcement that somebody is potentially inhibited by some sort of illegal substance. And how long does that training typically take? Is it several months? Is it a year? Is it a course you go into? What's that process look like?
It's 6 weeks of pretty intensive training. On the same subject, and it's not you're going to class and talking about different topics all the time. There's a lot of information jammed into a short period of time, and they give you. We have a preschool, then we have our normal DRE training, and through all of that, they give us this card that we have to memorize front and back, and it's very small print, and we have to memorize that thing and regurgitate it verbatim on the test, and if you don't, you don't pass. You might be able to miss a couple here and there, but you need to know that thing front and back. So we go through a long, extensive training of this is the psychophysical responses. There's some biology that goes into it, understanding the human body, then understanding each drug category, what each drug category does. And then it's pretty extensive. And then we go and we do field certifications. And that's really when we learn. We learn all the book work ahead of time. Then we do field certifications and we'll go out and we'll have real subjects who have been identified as in the field as using drugs. They're brought to us. They volunteer. Believe it or not, they do get them to come and volunteer, and we put them through our series of tests so we can really understand. And before we can graduate, we have to have, I believe, 18 different test subjects that every individual one of us have to do. So if there's 30 people there that are doing the training, we have to have 18 for each person. So there's a lot of people coming through.
Yeah.
And then when you're not doing your own, you're observing somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so you get to really see all the different drug categories, for the most part, that come in. And I will tell you, it was the best training I've ever had. I never want to do it again. And as far as law enforcement training goes, it is probably one of the most intense trainings that there is. And it's not your typical 8-hour day. It's a 10 to 12 hour day of studying in class. And then you go back to your room and you study all night until you go to bed, and then you get up and do it. It is a very, very intense 6 weeks, but again, very, very rewarding.
Yeah, is this something that every year, couple of years, that you have to be recertified, excuse me, or just go back in for updated trainings, or is this something, once you're certified, you're good for the rest of your life?
Every year we have to have an additional 8-hour recertification training, and then we also are required to have 4 evaluations within a 2-year period. One of them needs to be witnessed by an instructor to make sure you're doing it the right way, because it is an expert status that we have to testify in court to. So we need to know what we're talking about.
We're with Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt here on Community Comment this afternoon. I want to shift our gears here and talk about a relatively, not a newer initiative, but a new public maybe initiative to educate about certain investigations and arrests that are being done with the Dodge County Sheriff's Office, and that involves internet crimes against children. There was a press release a couple weeks ago that had came out. A couple months ago, there was also another one that came out highlighting some recent arrests. But Sheriff, you mentioned that this is something that your agency is sort of looking at continuing here, it moving forward when an investigation like this does result in an arrest here in Dodge County.
Yeah, we've wanted to do more with these and get information out to the public. As you recall, last month we talked about the certificate we got from the Department of Justice, 15 years working closely with them on these. Back in January, we put out, I believe it was 6 or 7 arrests that we made, most of them for possession of child pornography. And why is that serious? Well, some kid was put in a position to have pornography images taken of them, and then they're sold across the internet. And we just did this again on the 6th of March, an individual. Again, all persons innocent until proven guilty. We always like to put that out there. But a record of the arrest of an Alan Douglas of Ripon was booked into the jail on, again, possession of child pornography. It's a Class D felony. He got a $3,000 cash bond. And we're going to be highlighting those when we make those arrests because it's important that people know that we're not going to tolerate that. If that type of activity is going on, it's going to be made public and in hopes of reducing the amount of people that are doing this despicable crime. And of course, this crime is there, and this person is there. But as a reminder as well, every person that we arrest and is booked into the jail, while they are in the jail, you can go online and you can see right on our Sheriff's Office app under the jail information tab. Everybody there, they're booking photos and what they're arrested for. So we are publicizing every arrest, just different manners, and we'll be a little bit more public with these child pornography ICAC type cases.
Yeah, and it's an unfortunate crime that the victims involved. Anytime somebody obtains these illegal images, videos, it's a crime that the victim continuously gets victimized over and over again. And it's an effort. I know that a lot of agencies also do similar things. Mm-hmm. They promote arrests of those who commit these types of crimes. And I know also your agency does something similar with OWI arrests. Mm-hmm. and making that but you mentioned that a lot of these all arrests are public record and knowledge that people can obtain through the Dodge County Sheriff's Office app that they can download, and they can see all these arrests that come through, all the mugshots that are taken. There's just certain ones that are being out highlighted and posted online for the public essentially right. To see.
I'd love to post every one on Facebook, but if I posted every picture all the time, it would get to be a little bit fatigue with nonstop posts. And so we do pick and choose which ones are there. But again, you can always see every arrest. It's really pulled through the VineLink system, which really has arrests statewide for jails across the state and prisons who's in custody. So great public record for individuals if they want to know what's going on in our community.
Yeah, and the Dodge County Sheriff's Office app is available where again, Sheriff?
On your Apple and Android phones, right in your store. Look for our badge. Dodge County Sheriff's Office is the name on it. Has our star right on it, and downloaded so much information. We're not trying to put Daily Dodge out of business, but all the news comes right there first. You'll hear it there before you get it on Daily Dodge. But if you miss it there, you can always get it here on Daily Dodge as well.
No, it is a not only that, it's a great resource too for being able to submit tips to law enforcement or reports of criminal activity. And a lot of times it helps dispatchers, I'm sure as well, that they are not getting inundated with phone calls and people calling in. And it's a great option for the public to be able to utilize if they do have something that they want to, that's not super pressing, that they could utilize the app and be able to send that into law enforcement and have you guys review those things and investigate.
And I get I see everyone that comes in, comes through my email, so I can see what these complaints are. We get so many of them. We get them daily. We'll get these. And now with controlled burn season coming up, we always want you to let us know when you're burning and where you're burning, when there's a bigger bonfire, so that we don't send the fire department out when somebody sees smoke. It's a great way. You can just enter right in an incident report, a controlled burn, where it's at. Our dispatchers will have it. You don't have to call us. You don't have to pick up the phone. If you're ever in the, you just don't want to call and talk to somebody about a complaint that you want to make, but you want us to know about it. We're always going to dispatch somebody for most of these. Controlled burns, we just log, but most of these we're going to still dispatch somebody out. But if you don't want to call and talk to a dispatcher, just go on your app and submit an incident report.
And you can do it anonymously too if people
you
want
can.
To.
You can. We don't encourage that because we like to be able to follow up and get information. Right. But you certainly can. If you don't want your name released, just tell us you want to be confidential and still give us your name and phone number so we can call you back and get some follow-up information. If you want to be confidential, we can't give your name out unless a judge orders it.
Just a few more minutes left here on today's community comment with Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt. Want to spend that time again handing the mic over to the sheriff and promoting an activity happening this weekend here in the city of Beaver Dam that will be supporting a really fantastic cause.
Yeah, it's you may have heard of the Children's Radiothon right here that's been going on for, what is it, 23 years?
23, yeah. That might be testing my exact memory. It's around 23, 24 years.
Well, my wife, as part of the 24, 25 Leadership Beaver Dam class, the second best class ever. Obviously 16, 17.
I wonder who was in that class.
I don't know, but it may have generated rotary lights. Is putting on a community impact event. It's a mini market up at Pizza Ranch on Saturday, and it's from 11 until 2 o'clock. And my wife is working hard to put this together. She goes to vendor events as part of her job with Modern Woodman, but she. My kids want to sell stuff. And so she said, well, how can we create entrepreneurs? And so my daughter, Caitlin, my son, Colin, have bracelets and rocks, hydro painted rocks that they're looking to sell at this mini market. And it's open for vendors of young age, of children to come in. And so from 11 to 3 at Pizza Ranch here in Beaver Dam, you don't have to eat. You can.
It's a good bonus.
It is a good bonus. I mean, who doesn't want to eat a Pizza Ranch? But you don't have to eat to enter. But just come on out and walk through some of these kids with these mini markets that they've got. Maybe you want to buy something, maybe you don't. But it's teaching kids how to make things to sell and make a profit, and then turn it over and give some to charity. So really great event. Very proud of my entire family for all of the work they're putting in. I will be there supporting as well. And by supporting, I mean eating at Pizza Ranch. So by all means, come on out, see my wife, my kids, and help support this great event. I'm sure there'll be a lot of other kids there that will also have things. They did something like this down at Swan Park a couple times last year as well, which they had a number of great kids and some really neat stuff out there. So I thought I'd give them a plug here today and plug the Radiothon as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, again, that's this Saturday, March 22nd, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., I think you mentioned here at the Pizza Ranch.
11 to 2.
11 to 2, excuse me. 11 to 2 p.m. here at the Pizza Ranch in Beaver Dam. And again, all proceeds go towards the Goodcomer Brands, John Moser, Children's Radiothon. So it's a great cause and an opportunity to eat some good food this weekend here in Beaver Dam.
Yeah, they even have ice cream. So come on out. It'll be a good time.
Coming out this Saturday, Pizza Ranch here in Beaver Dam to support the mini markets. But Sheriff, that I think we'll wrap up our community comment here today. We got through everything I think we wanted to get through. Any final words before we depart this afternoon?
No, just be safe out there overnight here this weekend. I hope all the kids are having a great spring break. But just be safe. And it was probably one of the shorter community comments we've ever had, but we got a lot of information out there to the public.
So. Fantastic. Well, again, I want to thank our guest today. Excuse me. Maybe it's a good thing we're wrapping up. I'm losing my voice here. I thank our guest, Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt, for coming in. And that will do it for today's community comment.